Hey everybody, welcome to the Transportation and Logistics Podcast powered by Atlanta Dispatch and Humblebee Enterprises. I'm very excited to be here with a special guest. We have Anthony Petit, who is the Chief Operating Officer of FinPark. And before we begin, I just want to say that the Dispatcher's Guide to the Galaxy is available now as an ebook and a physical book. You can acquire your copy online from BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon, and if you're into the ebook space, you can get that bad boy from Apple. But look, my brother Anthony, thank you again for joining me today. How's everything your way? How's the new year treating you?
Hey, how you doing, Jory? It is a pleasure to be on. I'm so excited to be here and speak with you today just about honestly anything. So, you know, yeah, I'm very excited.
Oh, good, my guy. Good, good. And look, for the people who have not had the opportunity to hear anything about you in the past, they haven't encountered you, can you please give us a brief introduction?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, again, thank you for having me on. And my name, as everybody knows now, is Anthony Petit. I started in this business about 9 years ago. I was introduced to the world of truck parking by my late uncle, Sammy, and he had pretty much opened up a whole door for me, a whole other opportunity that I didn't even know existed. In fact, when I first had started, I didn't know anything about trucking, transportation, logistics, the whole nine yards. Previous to that, I had spent 2 to 3 years in recruiting on the executive search side. And then prior to that, I was 6 years in digital marketing. So my world was completely changed when I was introduced to this wonderful and great transportation industry that I love so much now. And all I do is care about the drivers. That has always been my my philosophy. So let's just date myself a little bit here. Let's go back 9 years. First starting, to give some backstory here, I started my business Truck Park because my uncle, who introduced me to the wonderful world of transportation, was a truck driver himself. He started off in the early 70s and worked for the Teamsters, the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, and then did a lot of the short haul and some of the long haul for the Teamsters. And he always had, you know, there was a lot of issues that he had, right? There's been a lot of, let's call it just, you know, different things that he always faced, or different challenges that he faced over the road. Mm-hmm. And he always had told me that parking was definitely one of them. So here's a guy who told me that parking was an issue literally for like 30 to 40 years and just was not being solved. And so I had actually entered into a partnership, let's say, with him, where we would just help his facility in the South Side of Chicago. We had a parking lot, and we would just help. I would just help, I should say. I built up a website, and I would help him drive traffic to his yard. It would give him the visibility. Mm-hmm. And that is where everything just started. Like, that is literally how, in a long-winded answer, that's how I became Chief Operating Officer 9 years later.
Yes, sir. That's awesome, brother. That's awesome. And big shout out to uncles out there. I am an uncle 15 times over now, and I have some guy kids. So big shout out to the uncles who are exposing their nieces, their nephews, their family members to these positive opportunities, you know, just really putting them on game. So that's dope, first off. But two, man, you as the nephew in this scenario, I've loved and I've learned from my whole life. I'm a little bit younger, so why don't I utilize my skills to build a landing page, build a website to drive some traffic? Did you have any official background in that type of stuff before, or did you just have the skill set just because, you know, that was just a part of your lifestyle at that point?
I spent 6 years in digital marketing, and so I actually learned how to build up a website using HTML and CSS at the time. Okay, let's go all the way back. This is 2009 now, so even a different time period for most of us. And from 2009 to the better part of 2012, 2013, maybe even 14, actually, that would actually be about 6 years from then. In early 15, now I'm going using math here because it's 7:30 a.m. my time. I mean, 7:30 p.m. my time, and my brain's fried. But in any case, yeah, that was my background. I had the knowledge and expertise to go ahead and build up a website. And that is what I used to help drive the visibility for the drivers to find his yard.
Was there such thing as SEO back then? Like, were you optimizing the way that things were, driving that traffic? Or was that still a little bit too early for that type of stuff to be put into place?
You know, what's interesting is that SEO has actually existed for quite some time. So it's probably been about 15 years in the running. However, in the last, let's call it 5 to 7 years, it's been called SEM, search engine marketing. So utilizing the keyword search in just a little bit different of a way. And I'm more of the old school. I did the SEO, I did the HTML tags, I put together, you know, content and blogs and newsletters and marketed it that way so that, you know, our name, you know, at the time was just my uncle's truck yard, but our name would pop up in the Google searches. So if a driver was saying, "Hey, I need truck parking in Chicago," we would come up within the first page of Google.
Nice. You know, I remember when I was creating content, so this podcast name, and it was on the first page. Like, that right there was the biggest small win. I was just grinning ear to ear the whole day. But that's dope. That's dope to think about it, man. And ultimately, it had to be something that changed the game. Talk about the early days of Truck Park and, you know, when you guys really hit your stride.
Yes. So this is an actual really good point. Talking about the early days, one. And two, my wife always wants me to tell everybody the actual story of Truck Park, like the grinding and the lows and the very lows and the even lower lows. So why don't we talk about that a little bit? Because I think I'll honor her saying that now and really talking about just how I started Truck Park. So first of all, again, when I had started at Truck Park 8 years ago, one, I didn't know much about transportation, logistics, and insurance. I was just trying to figure it out. I was honestly a novice. And two, I was a novice at just really creating an actual full-fledged business. When I say that, you know, I've always been and had entrepreneurial-like skills since I was a little boy. In fact, I started a dog walking company when I was 7 years old, and I honestly went from one dog to six dogs in my neighborhood. And so flash forward to the Truck Park days, it's like a whole new beast, right? You're like literally creating a company where you're building an opportunity for drivers to transact on a platform. And let's even be honest, this is even before the platform days. It was just an idea or a website that I had built out called truckpark.com. Amazing name, let's be honest, because it's everything. You know, you don't have to go ahead and really try to sell too much what you're building. The name sold itself.
Right.
So going back to the very early days, building Truck Park, one, was, you know, a super challenge. I was also, 25, 26 years old, and I just had quit my job. I really had no money, let's be honest. I think I had put down maybe $5,000 into this business, the money that I had saved from my executive recruiting days. And I learned a valuable lesson. One, I think I should have leveraged a little bit more, like friends and family around, and probably poked my head in the doors of my cousins and try to raise a little bit more capital. But in the beginning, I just didn't know how to do so. So I just took this $5,000. I built up a website. I had, you know, a phone in my hand with my cell phone, and I just started calling out people. And in the early days, people were like, yeah, truck parking's not much of an issue.
Mm.
And it was always, truck parking, you know what? I don't think I want to invest in this company. Truck parking's, we haven't really seen a big need for truck parking, which is kind of funny now, because let's flash forward till today. There are 15 aggregator, and marketplaces in the U.S. and Canada today, just like what we built. We were the first, okay? We were such the first that nobody even thought this was going to be a viable business. People laughed in my face. A lot of investors were like, yeah, here's the door. You can see it later. There's no future for this company. Like, drivers just don't need parking. And again, this is before the ELD.
Mm-hmm.
The electronic logging device came out in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about 2016. So this is before it was even difficult for drivers to find parking. And in fact, drivers were, you know, fudging the logbooks and driving, you know, 17 to 20 hours a day and getting in accidents, but it was all overlooked. And interestingly enough, and I don't want to go too deep in everything unless I do have the mic here. Really, the early days, and I'm kind of going back to that, not only just getting the customers, but like, this is where my wife really wants me to tell the story. I lived in Chicago with my buddy, and I didn't have any money. So guess what? I had to live off of food stamps and Medicare. So I literally had nothing. I lived in Lakeview, which is a Chicago suburb, which to you in Atlanta, that's like, it's not Buckhead, but it's like Midtown, right? It's like a nice area. But mm-hmm. I would go into the grocery store with my food stamps card.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, I don't have any money. I'm using my government card to buy groceries. So those were the early days. I have literally nothing.
I hear you, man. Look, before you go any further, first off, just know that it took faith, right, to continue when you didn't see anything from what you were putting out. You know, it took faith to say, I'm going to leverage, you know, what I have at my disposal, which is a government that has the ability to give me some food stamps. And I'm going to leverage them so that I can continue to do what my faith is in. So I'm happy that you're sharing that, because that's way more people's stories and existences than folks really want to say. So thank you for sharing it. I'm very grateful that your wife has made it, you know, apparent that that's an important part of the journey. So my bad, I didn't want to interrupt, but thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely. Well, faith and perseverance is the only way I got to where I'm at today.
Yes, sir.
I'll be honest, my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is the only reason why I'm a chief operating officer today at 32.
Yes, sir.
So that's why, you know, that's the journey getting to up to this point. But of course, it was always a rocky journey. And I think that a lot of people get on and they're like, oh, let's just talk about our successes. Let's talk about how I turned this business to $100 million and sold it. Like, that's what I want to talk about. It's like, no. Why don't you talk about, like, literally before all the glamour and all the fame and all everybody knew you at all the conferences, like, what, how did you start? Did you start out with $100,000 in your pocket, or were you like me who used every last penny just to build this business because you love the industry so much? And so that's the stories that I like to hear. But anyways, that's what I'm saying to you. In the early days of Truck Park, it was no, you know, dog and pony show. It was tough.
Yes,
it was
sir.
A really tough experience, but you know, with the perseverance, with the faith, I was able to rise. I was able to keep on going, you know, despite all the no's and despite people literally telling me that Truck Park was never going to be successful. I mean, I literally had an investor tell me that Truck Park will never be successful. You will never make money and you will never get to where you want to be.
Wow. And who did this person think they were? Man, that's crazy to spit on somebody's dreams like that. And, you know, with such limited knowledge, but reliving that moment, but that's crazy. And what was the first moment when you're like, okay, things are going in the right direction? Like, what was actually happening? Who did you meet? What was the size of the deal? You know, all those type of things.
Absolutely. So first of all, going back to now, this is probably, so it's 2016 is when I started Truck Park. Let's call it January, I think is the month that I actually incorporated the business. I think it was maybe July or August when I met my business partner, Joshua Walls. And I went to him, first of all, let me go backwards two steps. Before I even went to him, I had to meet him. So we actually met at a car dealership. I was getting my car serviced. He was working there in between jobs. And we were introduced by a mutual friend and or a mutual, you know, somebody that he had worked with. And that guy had also sold me the car and said, hey, you got to talk to this guy. And anyways, long story short, we started talking. He didn't, you know, he came out of, first of all, let me take another pause and bookmark that. He's about 16 years older than I am. I'm 32. Okay. He's like 48. He probably doesn't want me to tell that to anybody. So we'll like keep that hush. So anyway, when we had met, he was just like, yeah, you know, I have experience. In fact, he had about 20 years of experience. He had a master's, and I had a lot of experience as well, because I've always worked at such a young age. But he's just like, yeah, I just don't know how to build a business. And I'm like, great. So let's enter in this partnership together without any knowledge of building a business. And that is what we did.
Gotcha. So the business partner, you end up meeting him at a very precarious time in his life, just like yours. But you guys saw some synergies. And, you know, so that's in July-ish. How long after he comes on board do you see success, or, you know, not even success, but just like the silver lining that validated some of those efforts from the previous months?
We spent a year in research and development together, just trying to understand the industry more, trying to talk to more people. The blessing honestly came when the ELD and the hours of service and, you know, everything, you know, was mandatory regulations. And, you know, this was going to be now, you know, big issue. Truck drivers had to pull over. They could no longer fudge logbooks. Everything would be, you know, literally calculated in mileage. You know, there was a lot of controversy over it, but It really helped us. It did, because it validated the market. It validated our business plan and our concept and what we were building out. That was probably a pivotal moment for us. I would say, you know, not only having my uncle's parking lot as our first location, our flagship location, but another big milestone came probably, I'd say quarter two of 2017. That would probably be the right time. We went from having, again, one parking lot location, and then organically all of these other other parking lot owners wanted to come on board. And again, This is just a website at the time, but we had about 20 truck parking lots on our website by Q3 of 2017.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. And it was, first off, one, doing this at this age is crazy. Okay. Just know that at this point, you're super young, and ultimately you pioneered what is probably one of the highest visibility issues in transportation today. Okay. So I just want you to sit and let that resonate, that you were doing things that were extremely ahead of somebody at that age. So that's dope. Now you actually got other individuals, other business owners that are wanting to come on. What was it like establishing the system that allowed you to scale, monetize, and, you know, was it challenging to monetize that with other people, like when you were having those initial conversations?
Sure. There's a lot of barriers. There's a lot of challenges in the early days. First of all, we were trying to define our pitch. So I think at one point in the early days, it was like every pitch was different to every operator, even though all the operators technically the same. Like today we have like literally a refined pitch. But before, I was like, I don't know. We'll just try to see how this one goes and try a different strategy next time. So, yeah, there's definitely barriers. And there was a couple of operators that were like, you know what? Your service sounds great, but, like, I still don't understand. Like, what are you guys doing? What is your business model? And, you know, it formed. We have an evolution of the business model. In the beginning, it was like, okay, we're going to provide visible, you know, awareness of where your location is to the driver. But it was still kind of all done manually. Mm-hmm. And so if you kind of look back at DAT, right, dial a truck, the reason why it's called DAT or dial a truck is because literally drivers would go to a payphone to get a load that way. That's how it started. And then it evolved, of course, into a load board. And, you know, the load board became huge and everybody was using it, blah, 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 blah. Well, same thing for Truck Park. Like, we started off with just a website. We were doing it all manually. Parking, we had the parking lot owner. We had some carriers or small fleets at the time. And we would just kind of connect the dots. We'd say, okay, there is a lot here, you know, on the corner of 94th Street and Halstead, Chicago. You know, come over here or use our website and you can literally book your parking. But it wasn't, it was super manual, super 80s, like old school boiler template, room, everything. Yeah. So anyway, that's how we started. And then let's say, let me go here. About 8 months later, I was walking down the street with my soon-to-be wife at the time, or actually not even soon-to-be. She was my girlfriend at the time. And we're walking down her block, walking her dog or her parents' dog. And we run into this woman and her husband. And long story short, this woman and her husband had invested in a company called Inspire 11. And they were an early stage company too. They were kind of figuring out what they were going to do, but mostly building up applications.
Mm-hmm.
So she had taken a liking in me and we had talked for maybe now, let's say flash forward two or three months. And I had pitched her and actually pitched this company called Inspire 11 in the city at the time. And they loved it. And we had, long story short, negotiated that they would build the application for free. Well, nothing for free. They would build the application for equity without charging us dollars, but for equity. And then they would also give us an additional $550,000 to run the business.
Okay. So they saw the value.
And they had, so there were three partners. The main guy, interestingly enough, and I didn't know this until we actually signed the papers and got into the engagement, but he had known my cousin. They both went to Dayton University.
Mm-hmm.
So very small role.
Right.
One of the guys on his team, or his founders, one of the founders, let me say it that way. His dad owned a trucking company. So this kid was, you know, rocking and rolling. He knew the industry. He loved it. They saw value in it because of him.
I heard that it makes everything easier if you plan your succession plan while you're actually forming the company, while you're building it. So now we're talking about the fact that Truck Park was your first baby and you had an opportunity to exit from that company. Was it built with that type of mindset? Was it easy to exit out of it, or were there some challenges getting out of Truck Park?
Of course, there's always challenges. You know, our ups and downs. We had some really big ups, taking almost nearly $750,000 in investment. I would say $750,000 to $800,000 in total investment. And you know, those were great days. You know, we raised a ton of capital. It was a type of business where you just don't need a lot of manpower. It's more built in the technology. And so, you know, we were rocking and rolling at one point. Again, you know, kind of going backwards, I told you maybe 2017, we were at 20 parking lots. So when Joshua and I had sold Truck Park, we were at 680 locations across the U.S.
In your heyday with Truck Park, how many new parking lots were you taking on a week? Was it, you know, 10, you know, something like that?
Yeah, I think if you break it down, maybe, you know, to calculate it, maybe like 10, 15 every 2 weeks, maybe a week, every 2 weeks. You know, in our business, it's a marketplace. So there's a supply side, there's a demand side. And the supply side, you have to go ahead. It's the chicken and the egg model, but you have to go ahead and build or get the parking lot owners. You have to get them on the platform. And then you connect it with all the demand, which is your carriers, your brokers, your shippers, et cetera. So that is essentially, you know, how we built the business. But to kind of go back to your question about the challenges, even at the end, even before exit, you know, of course there's, you know, who are we going to exit to? Or did I always think about, you know, was this part of my plan? Was I always in the back of my mind, like, I'm going to exit this business in 5 years? Mm-hmm. And the answer is no.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think of that at all. In fact, in 2018, unfortunately, I lost my uncle suddenly. He unexpectedly passed away. And I just, in my mind, I just wanted to not only help the drivers because, you know, I come from actually not only an uncle who drove trucks, but I guess my grandfather drove a meat truck back in the 50s during law school. So I guess I come from a family of truck drivers, and I wanted not only to solve a problem and make a difference in the industry to the drivers, but I also wanted to carry on my uncle's legacy.
No, I feel it, man. My condolences. You know, it seems like he definitely imparted some wisdom, some value, a lot of things to you. Definitely my condolences. Did that complicate your decision, you know, wanting to do something to really help the industry, help the drivers, when you were considering actually selling the company?
It did. You know, I always had in the back of my mind, like, oh, like I think we need to just keep on persevering and continuing on. I will be honest, at the time, just like anybody else, we're all human here, right?
Sure.
You know, at the time we had some offers, we had some private equities reach out. We were talking to JB Hunt. We were talking to Relay, who actually ended up acquiring us, and then a couple others. But I look back on it, I look at my partner. I don't ever regret what we did. I don't regret selling too early. I just think that we got inflated with the numbers, and we're all like, oh, great, we can sell this business out and then, you know, make a ton of money and just walk away.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that even after selling it and going through the transition and knowing I had a non-compete, it was always in the back of my mind, like, I got to get back in this thing. I got to keep
doing it. Right, right. And what are some of those lessons from Truck Park that you took with you when you started to build Finn Park?
One, I was like, this time around, I really just want to focus on building. I don't want to focus on, you know, what is the end goal? Like, everybody asks you one thing, especially investors, like, how are we going to exit? What is mm-hmm. the M&A strategy? What is your, are you going to go IPO? Are you going to do a SPAC deal? Are you going to merge? Are you going to, you know, full acquisition, whatever. But here it's different, and I like it because one, I'm a part of a division of a conglomerate of companies in Canada. Total, it's like a $2.7 billion conglomerate. And we just don't, we're not in the same boat where we're looking for investors. We don't have any investors saying, well, I really just want to get out of this business. I want to sell my shares and whatever. So it's really nice to finally be able to build a business, you know, go back to what I started off with, you know, zero to one company, and build it again. Having that second chance to build Finn Park now, right? To get back in and really make a difference to the drivers. That's what I love here. And I think those are some of the lessons that I carried over. Is, you know, I would say also for other entrepreneurs, like, you got to look at what you're building. What you're building, what you offer, your product offering, that's your baby. So, like, think twice before you go to the adoption agency and give your baby away. Like, think twice about that. And it's hard. Numbers will always be there. People will always be offering you money because your idea is great or you made a difference, blah, blah, blah. But really think hard about it. And those are the life lessons I've learned. And, you know, I would say secondly, and then I'll digress here, is that there's going to be a lot of distractions. So one of the things right before we sold Truck Park, we're like, how can we generate more revenue? How can we even be more visible in the market? Let's come out with like this thing called the Truck Park Express card. And it was essentially a card by Comdata that essentially allowed us to go out and, you know, have a credit card, or I think at the time, it was a prepaid debit card or credit card, something like that, and offer this to the drivers. Well, honestly, right before we sold, I went down this rabbit hole and I was like, do I like literally, what was it? I'm sorry, I have to go backwards now. Do I literally like take this business and just like get rid of truck, like Truck Park will always be a business, but like I'll have this business and Truck Park, right? Like, mm-hmm. or do I put this underneath Truck Park's umbrella and this becomes a doing business as? It was just too distracting. And
right.
I learned that lesson. And now I'm like, no, let's focus on building parking. Let's focus on our marketplace. And then when we get to a certain point, we can look at ancillary services.
Right, right, right. And let's talk about that marketplace as it is today. What's the customer experience like? What are they looking at? What tools do they have at their disposal when they're in the marketplace?
So first of all, as I said, there's, you know, about 15 other aggregator marketplaces out there.
Yep.
Some really great people are building it. You know, Evan Shelley over at Truck Parking Club.
Mm-hmm.
There's a group called the Rick Hut. There's another group called Truck Bays. That's a, I can't remember his name now, but he's a good kid and he's trying to build that business up. And so really we try to define like what could be so different within our platform that will stand out from competition. And I think we're still kind of going through the R&D with trying to figure out what that exactly is. But just like everybody else, like our marketplace is essentially a centralized location for the carriers to have full market visibility of where these parking lots are across the country. And I guess I could say this, when we have built out a certain technology, and it's not proprietary, so I'm completely fine with saying it. We built a technology that actually uses an algorithm that ties to the hours of service. And so that maybe not for the independent owner operators that like it so much, but for the larger fleets, they want to know how many hours of service is left before it expires, because they're the ones who are taking down the nuclear verdicts if the driver gets in an accident. They're the ones who are taking the hit if there's some sort of liability issue or there's a fine from a state officer who pulls over a driver, et cetera. So we have built in this thing called search along the route. It allows the driver to not only find parking in real time, but it can enter in their hours of service or it can be integrated with an ELD. So then had knowingly predicted what their hours of service is going to expire, the search will actually position the city or the geographic city or pinpoint on the map of where you're going to end up based on that information.
Oh, that's nice. That's very convenient. Mm-hmm. You know, just to maximize hours of service while also, you know, not pushing it too far without you being able to actually find something. Or now you're on personal conveyance because
they can, there'll be a map right when they create a profile and they'll say like search your whatever, mm-hmm. search your next location. And then there'll also be another. So there's like there's a call to action or button that says search the location, which is your traditional, literally just type in your destination, Chicago, Illinois, and that's going to populate all of our locations in Chicago. And then there's another button that will say search along the route. And that's when they can click on that. And that will take it's going to ask them a series of questions like their make, their model, their truck size. It's going to show them pricing, like here's the daily price of the parking lot. Here's the monthly price of the parking lot. And then it's going to show a little box saying, what is your hours of service? Or when do you anticipate your hours of service expiring? And then you put it in like, oh, well, according to my ELD, it says 6 hours and 59 minutes and 37 seconds. Boom, you click that in there. And the technology just does it for you. It's like, well, based on 6 hours and 37 seconds and 55 seconds, you're going to end up not in Chicago, but you're actually going to end up in Lexington, Kentucky. And yeah. That's what's going to show and populate Lexington, Kentucky searches.
Okay. Yeah, I got you, brother. Okay. For you, seeing this business now with two separate companies, what type of facilities are most sought after when it comes to drivers and the demand for the type of facilities that drivers have?
Type of facilities, meaning the parking lot owner type of facilities?
Yeah, like are there any specific type of parking lots that the drivers are seeking the most?
So yes, we do collect the data. We use a back-end system to, figure out or aggregate a lot of that data. And I would say it depends on, see, the thing is, there's a lot of variables in our
industry. There is. I mean, especially location, so geography, you know, what type of goods they're carrying, what type exactly. of truck That's it. They have, you know. So yeah, I feel it. So let's just go with a standard, you know, dry van, 53-footer, and the carrier on. They have a small fleet. Let's just say two units, two trucks.
Okay, they have two trucks. Let's say, let's just add one other factor in there. Let's say they're hauling LG products, right? Appliances.
Okay, so, let's call it.
Perfect. So two trucks hauling LG products. They're now have a high commodity value load, right? Their payload needs to be safe and secure. So using that data, it would aggregate that the truck parking lot is fully fenced in perimeter, camera surveillance, man guarded as well. So that's the difference. It can be a gate code entry where you just, you know, click four digits and boom, you're in and out and kind of find your own parking space. Or the next step when fleets are trying to actually protect their payloads, like they have, they're not hauling toilet paper. They're literally hauling expensive items, or they're hauling food and beverage, which interestingly enough was the top rated cargo theft item in 2023 was like robbing food and beverage trucks, reefer trucks. So anyways, long story short, that company, that two truck company with LG products would be parking at that man guarded location. That would be
nice. And you guys have quite a few like super secure facilities part of your marketplace. How do you market to them? And, you know, once you get one on, do they kind of speak to their neighbors, let them know that this is a pretty cool service that's giving them some passive income? You know, is that something that they also help you market for?
It's a lot of word of mouth, certainly in this business. I'd say on the parking lot side, or the parking lot owner, you know, the biggest thing is they own this piece of real estate. Sometimes they have tons of years in transportation and they love it. They know the business. Other times they're, you know, hedge fund or venture capital, brand new in this industry. And it's like they have the capital to go out and buy this property. They listen to myself or another consultant in their ear that, you know, this is what you need to build up a great business. But it's not until they use our service or, you know, any other aggregator marketplace, and then they realize, like, we don't do the marketing, but you guys do. So you're essentially taking over the legwork. You're essentially giving us visibility to thousands of drivers that we don't have access to. And I think that's where it becomes, you know, that's how it answers your question. That, you know, becomes so interesting and intriguing to the parking lot owner.
Right. I love it. And what if that, let's just say we're high value cargo. What if they had a consistent lane and they were always coming in, going same lane, and they really took a liking to one of your facilities? Is there a way for them to establish long-term parking with that facility through your service?
Yes. So we do short-term and long-term. So short-term is overnight parking, usually typically about 24 hours is what the operator allows. We know that typical drivers are going for about 14 hours and then they have an 8-hour rest break. So they're staying there for 8 to 9, 10 hours maybe, and then they're out. But having that peace and comfort of knowing the 24 hours is great. So that covers the overnight. And then the monthly is calculated in the 30 days, right? So, and then you book month to month. You could book a year, 2 year, 3 year. And then, you know, it just depends on if it's, you know, these, like you said, the example, the two truck carrier that is hauling this high value load, they're probably going to go in and out. You know, maybe they drop a trailer and another truck comes up, picks up that trailer, and they have this whole thing going on, right? Back and forth. We have those lots set up. Like we have a whole team that literally goes out and vets the lot. And we look at a certain measurement or threshold security. So they have to meet certain criteria in order to fit on the parking, or essentially be on our marketplace, put it that way. They have to like literally go meet a certain score, basically. If they're like under a certain like percentage, we don't put them on the platform if they're not secure. Right. So basically going back, yes, that carrier can go in and out. There's parking lots set up for that. There's also parking lots set up for containers. There's parking lots set up for trailers only. There's parking lots set up for Sprinter vans. We have it all on our platform.
describe the sketchiest location that tried to get onto the platform when you were just like, no, you don't meet the criteria. Do you have any stories about some sketchy locations trying to get on?
Sure. Please. I mean, you know, I've been in this business for what, 8-9 years now. So yes, I have plenty of stories, but yeah, we've talked to, you know, those gas station type businesses that don't even have fuel, but they're like, well, I took over this abandoned gas station. And I'm like, well, do you have fenced in perimeter? And they're like, no. And I'm like, okay, do you have a camera surveillance? They're like, yes, but it doesn't work. And I'm like, yeah, you don't meet our threshold of security.
Man. So look, there's obviously people know that there are certain locations where you can't park overnight because of the probability of theft and all that kind of stuff. How do you know what the local market is like to say whether or not it's a high theft place?
So we do look up the data. So, you know, we look up demographic data. And when I say demographic, just like, what is the rate of crime in this area?
Yeah.
And, you know, is this going to be like, you know, a super high crime area? Is it going to be super low crime area? Great. Well, if it's a super low, then, you know, they probably don't need a man guard at their location. If it's super high, we only work with man guarded. Like, they literally have to have security guards walking around, because first of all, everybody's like, well, it's about the payload. It's really, yes, it's about the payload, but it's really about the driver. I don't want to go ahead and say, use my platform so that you can go park in the hood and, you know, kind of be scared for your life.
Right.
You can go park in the hood, but we have all the security and your life is not going to be compromised. Like, right. I want to make sure a driver's life is safe and secure before their payload. I don't care about the trailer. I care about that person's life, the human element side of it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well said. Well said. Look, man, we are winding the conversation down at this point, but you being in a spot where you built a company with your uncle and a business partner, you sold it, and you've gone on to do some pretty cool things. What's the advisor life in 2024? Is it crazy? Are you, you know, are the kids coming up with some crazy ideas? What's that like these days?
I think the market in 24 is going to be super interesting. We saw in 23, we saw in 21, the emergence of the second generation, is what I call it, of aggregators and marketplaces. In 2023, I saw, like I said, I think it was like between 10 to 15 aggregators and marketplaces. I anticipate in 24, let's multiply it by 2. I think there's going to be like 30 of these, you know, technologies out there. Because honestly, as you see, everybody is trying to get into space. Like, literally, Congress and Senate talk about truck parking on a daily basis. Now they're getting state legislators and, you know, state Congress and everybody involved in this, where they have this Safety Improvement Act that's, you know, $755 million in government funding to go out and build more rest areas for drivers. You know, they have venture capitalists and hedge funds that have literally called me and been like, you know, we're a $20 billion asset under management company. We have all the capital in the world, but we need your expertise to go out and build truck parking locations. I mean, like, everybody in their mother is trying to get in the space, right? So I anticipate the market to be pretty flooded in 24 and 25 and 26. And then I think eventually it'll die down. I think people or companies will be like, how do we monopolize everybody? Like it's happening in kind of in the freight brokerage world, where it's like, you know, Amazon or some of these other companies are coming in and be like, let's just buy everybody out so that you don't have 100 digital freight brokerages anymore. There's only like 10 of us. And I think that's what's going to happen in the next couple of years, especially in 24, is that people are going to start being like, hey, how do I go out and build the biggest and the baddest? And then I start scooping up the you know, smaller guys and, you know, guys and girls, of course, smaller companies and you know, go ahead and just create and build this amazing, massive corporation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, I hear you. I mean, it sounds about right. Even you go as far as the other things where you're an advisor, you know, like Torch and Driver and even investing into Zoom app. What's that like? What's that lane like for you in this season of life as someone who can contribute your experience to help streamline somebody else's process? What does that look like in 2024?
Yeah. So, I mean, first of all, I love this industry so much. And so one, I would say, yeah, I have taken on recently a new advisory role. I'm actually working now with a company called Lufkar, and they're building up hydrogen air and road vehicles, literally like built by hydrogen cells. So super cool, super interesting. So my pathway is, you know, continue growing my advisorship, continue, you know, basically leveraging my expertise and my network into helping these companies build and scale and eventually exit their businesses. That is something I'm super passionate about. So that's the landscape in 2024 for me. I mean, I'm not here to take on, you know, 40 different ones, because I still have that human element where I really want to help out every single company. And I can't do so if I have just too much going on. But my landscape is this. I just want to help, and I want to create a difference, and I want to help a company have the same experience as I did.
Yes, sir. No, I feel it, brother. Look, is there anything that we didn't get a chance to cover that you'd like folks to know more about?
You know what? I really think we covered like pretty much everything, and we did it so tastefully, you know, and I really do appreciate you asking me and getting me with really great questions. Your questions were great. They were definitely helping me to think. I had to think today, because usually when I get back to, well, usually when I end work, I should say, it depends where I'm at, but 7 o'clock, I'm usually completely brain dead, and that's 7 central. But
yes, sir.
The questions that you asked today had really helped me, you know, the ability to think. I wouldn't say they were challenging, but they allowed me to express exactly what my journey was through not only Truck Park, but what my journey is looking like at Fit Park today.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, look, it's a pleasure. And I truly appreciate you for accepting my invitation. And big shout out to Rob Mill, because it was via Truck Fest that you and I had a chance to actually connect in person and even, you know, establish the relationship. Of course, we get connected to folks on LinkedIn, but it's different when you meet them in person. So big shout out to him for helping facilitate our meeting. And how can people find out more about you and the things that you have going on? Where would you like to send them to?
Sure, of course. Let me think here. The best way, I mean, I'm always on LinkedIn. Let's be real.
Right.
So, go ahead and just hit me up on LinkedIn, connect with me, and maybe shoot me a DM of why we're connected. And then, you know, of course, I'm pretty attentive there. I could say they can also go on www.finpark.io and go through the message boards there, and I can find them through our marketing team. And then I get the last part of it. I actually have my own website. It's called anthonypetit.com. That's kind of long, but if you hit me up on LinkedIn, I can certainly send you the URL. And then, you know, you can see all of my, you know, advisorship and everything and Truck Park's journey and kind of read all that kind of stories and stuff. So.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you for that. Any closing remarks?
Honestly, if we're shouting out to Rob Mel, I'd say hustle fam. It's all about family in this industry. Let's keep it real.
Yes, sir. This is all relationships, 100%.
Absolutely. Well, hey, you know what? This has been such a pleasure with you, Jory. I want to be on your show as many times as I possibly can, as much as you would allow. I love being on here. This was great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no doubt, man. And as we close, I wanted to give a huge shout out to my sponsor, Ty Software, who is helping brokerages of all sizes streamline their processes and scale their businesses. So whether you're a broker specializing in full truckload or LTL, they have a solution for you, and tell them that Jory sent you. But look, again, brother, thank you. And I look forward to connecting some more, man. Conference season is underway, so I'll see you at a conference soon, my guy.
See you soon, buddy.
Yes, sir. Be blessed.